Hello everyone, I'm Tara. We're discussing social enterprise, and as part of social enterprise, a very vital backbone and foundation of social enterprise is the financial planning and the funding aspect. So we have been repeatedly saying social enterprise involves people and planet above profit. However, that doesn't mean that profit and money is immaterial, because we have seen examples of, and will continue to see examples of, good ideas which fell by the wayside because the funding was not in place or they ran out of funds. So, before getting into the details of this chapter and giving you an idea of the multiple avenues of funding that are there, whether it's crowdfunding, whether it's grants, whether it is micro lending, whether it is any other kind of donations, let me touch on a very interesting example that I have found of social enterprise, which actually is extremely relevant to us in daily life. Now, I think most of us for entertainment would have at some point of time used platforms like a Book My Show, ticketing platforms, right? Insider, Book My Show, various other platforms which are there. Now, when we use these platforms, I think we observe a ticketing fee which is there, which actually is fairly substantial if you calculate it as a percentage of your ticket price. So this ticketing fee is for the online convenience, so that you can book well in advance, things are not sold out. And this is of course going to the platform people and to, you know, whatever their tie-ups and arrangements may be with the event or the movie or the show that you are going for. So HumanTix, which was founded in Australia, came up with a very interesting idea. They said, look, people will continue to buy online because that is the easiest and most popular way. You don't today have someone going to the ticket window to, you know, buy all the time. Maybe a few last minute people buy at the ticket window, but those days of, I want to watch a movie, let's first go and buy the tickets, are out of the window. Right? So we book online. So they said people are going to continue to use these platforms. Why don't we create a platform, which develop a platform where the proceeds go towards charities and various charities and noble causes. So whatever money is there is received from the ticketing fee, let it go to charities and to noble causes. So very often people see, you know, grudge the ticketing fee that, this is so exploitative and all we're doing is booking online and this is such a high fee and, you know, it's like, it's not fair at all. But the minute you say, let's say I'm buying something for 1,000 rupees online, tickets for 1,000 rupees, chances are that my ticketing fee would be 80, 90 rupees, if not more. And I just say, you know, like what, almost 10% of my I'm paying for ticketing convenience fee, which is so unfair. But if now I'm told that, whatever you are, whatever is being charged to you as the booking fee, convenience fee, the proceeds from that are going to go towards this social impact enterprise or this charitable cause, then suddenly my entire mindset and appetite might change. And I might say, you know what? I think this is a regular way to keep contributing to some good, and I am fine with this being charged to me. Because people want to contribute and patronize charities and good causes in their own way. So HumanTix came up with this great platform, which was a phenomenal success in Australia. And after their success in Australia, they decided to launch in UK. And they set up their office in Edinburgh in Scotland. Now, again, why Scotland? I will come to it. why I'm talking about Scotland when I'm talking about financial planning and funding and giving you this example, because it is being seen globally and by publications like Forbes, etc., as one of the countries which is most conducive to social enterprises. The whole process of setting up the whole support system is very among a lot of the Western countries, is one of the countries, one of the most seamless among the Western countries. So, well, Humantik set up their office in Edinburgh. They went through an 18-month process of interacting with the Scottish authorities through various vetting processes, licensing, whatever else may have been involved in it, and then went live. And of course, already they have hundreds of thousands of, events which are live on their site. To give you an idea of, the kind of success from it launched in 2024. And since then, it has sold more than 15 million tickets across events. You know, these are live events, screenings, etc. So you get an idea that what is the kind of appetite for this and how much the public wants to contribute in this way. And 100% of your revenue from the ticketing fee, etc., is going to the convenience fee, is going to charities, and is going towards social causes. So this is a huge success in giving you an idea of how you can create a financial model which is helping you scale up. Now, of course, for Humantik to reach this level of scale, invest in technology, move across continents from Australia start operations in Scotland, go through the whole process of this 18-month vetting, various other things, etc., bringing the technology up to grade, all of that. Obviously, what has helped them along the way is that they got funding from Google, and they got funding from Atlassian also. So the fact that they got this funding obviously was very, very helpful to them in terms of helping them scale up. And in the whole, continuing this theme of this contagious theme of social enterprise, together with their launch, at the time of their launch in Scotland, they announced a £500,000 prize for UK social enterprises. So, a prize for some of the winning ideas. So they are giving back as well in terms of, their success story. Now they want to give back in terms of handholding and funding another social enterprise, which has a very good, solid idea. So this is how it's paying itself forward in terms of social enterprises getting leases of life and being fueled by funding from across the board. Now, what also makes them even more unique? So now you may say that, okay, now that Humantik has started this, then it will be very easy. If someone else may say, great idea, let's also do this, it will be very easy to replicate. But of course, a lot of thought and planning went into creating this uniqueness, into making themselves even more unique over and above just the booking fee, convenience fee element. So what did they do? Now, they realized that a lot of the people with disabilities, people in wheelchairs, various other disabilities, avoid going to events because it's not easy for them to manage. The infrastructure there is not, conducive to people with disabilities going, enjoying, etc. So a lot of them have just stopped attending. So Humantik felt that it is not fair to exclude these people with disabilities from going out and enjoying life. So when an event is listing itself on Humantik's site, then Humantik site first asks them also about, is your event friendly for, is it accessible for people with disabilities? And they have a 2-minute kind of questionnaire where you have to fill in the details of how can people with disabilities attend, what sort of facilities are there, how can they go about accessing this. And all it takes is 2 minutes, and everyone fills that out. Till you didn't ask it, people weren't filling it out. But now that you have made that an integral part of the listing on HumanTix, that please also give us information on the how disability attendee friendly your event is, your venue is. People do it, you know, they take out the time and they do it. And that is really helping people with disabilities when they do a search, when they go on the platform to look up the ticketing, look up the events, then they can do a filter search based on disability access. Taking it a step forward, before the event is coming up, you know, how on your smartphones you get a reminder when you've booked something and, you know, your devices are synced and, you know, you get a reminder saying, oh, you're going for this movie today or something, some ticker comes on. So likewise, reminders go to these people who have booked, people, especially people with disabilities who have booked for events, giving them reminders in terms of the event and how they are supposed to go about ensuring that their attendance is a good experience, you know, with whatever they are supposed to do from their side to ensure that they are getting the privileges and the benefits of this accessibility. So obviously, this thought process, this inclusivity is what has made HumanTix even more popular because of this inclusivity. And obviously, when it comes to Google, when it comes to, you know, any of the other funds, this aspect, this uniqueness would have also drawn them into, you know, choosing to fund HumanTix versus, you know, so many other platforms or so many other enterprises around and in this segment. So it is a brilliant financial plan, inclusive plan, and which has translated into, of course, the desirable funding, which has allowed HumanTix to expand, to scale, and then to also give back to other good, solid entrepreneurship ideas. Funding, hence, assumes an extremely important element because clearly it helps the scalability and it really helps in terms of the long-term sustainability. Because when it comes to social change, whether it's people, whether it's planet, quick fixes can't do anything. You need long-term solutions and sustainable solutions. So among the various forms of funding, we've spoken about grants, you know, which are easier because repayment pressure is not really there. But you have sites like socialdevelopment.com, socialimpact.org, which you can, you know, which you can explore and you can see, which are very informative, where you will get probably guidance and insights in terms of certain directions for your potential funding. Now, Google has the impact challenge for people who are helping the environment. You have challenges which are specific to technology, enterprises where technology is helping, technology is helping in making the planet greener, in creating social impact. So there are a lot of ways in which funding can be accessed across countries. Now, for example, you have Indiegogo platform, you have Kickstarter. Now, for example, Voltaic Systems, which is a socially impactful, you know, which provides socially impactful energy solutions, managed to raise more than $100,000 on Kickstarter. So it's not necessarily having to always access some grand organization. You can tap into various such avenues to find where you can look for where you can raise funds. Then you have your Echoing Green, where you have funding support coming in from there as well for emerging social enterprises. They promote them, they guide them, they mentor them. Now, a lot of the different geographies have different dynamics, and which source of funding one social enterprise should tap versus the other has to be tailor-made to that enterprise, the geography that it's operating in, and what are the dynamics. So to give you an idea of the diversity of the issues being focused on across the globe, for example, as per this British Council survey, there's more than 25% unemployment in a country like Kenya. So a lot of the focus there would be on employment-based strategies, and hence funding would have to be sourced accordingly. Likewise, when we talk about Hong Kong, then in Hong Kong, a large part of the focus is on elder care. Very interestingly, the interesting trend is that most of the social enterprises which are operating in Hong Kong or have started up in Hong Kong have happened in the last 5 years. So it is fairly new to the concept of social enterprise, possibly because maybe, it's a smaller community, maybe, you know, in terms of the lower income group, the communities are not that large. But of course, we've seen a lot of instability in the region in the recent past. And obviously, the social consciousness has led to a growth in social enterprises out there as well to help those who are a marginalized or underprivileged community. Likewise, when we're talking about Jamaica, now in Jamaica versus unemployment in Kenya or, you know, elder care or various other elements in Hong Kong, in Jamaica, one of the biggest things is crime. A lot of the youth get very adversely affected because of the at-risk environments that they are in. So there is a lot of teenage crime. There is a lot of, unfortunately, drug usage. There is a lot of, exposure where very often it becomes like, the natural thing for people to move into. And, even if like families want to protect their youth from dark forces, it's very, very challenging in communities where crime is that rampant. So a lot of the social enterprise there focuses on crime prevention and working with the youth and communities in these excessively at-risk groups, in these excessively at-risk groups. Also, it will have a contagious effect because if you see youth from at-risk communities, joining something productive, joining something positive, it has a strong influence on others to also, other young people to also follow suit. And it has a positive contagious effect in terms of influencing not just the one beneficiary, but influencing his family and his other people, his peers across the community. So that influence becomes a very, very integral part of social enterprises. Accordingly, your financing strategies would have to incorporate that. Now, in Turkey, you have a lot of, very interestingly, most of the social impact organizations in Turkey are founded by women, which is, of course, very, very heartening that, you know, there is so much enterprise among the female gender. And it's also a reflection in terms of the initiative that the women are taking out there. A lot of it is focused towards manufacturing. A lot of it is focused towards creative industries. So this is giving you an idea of the diversity of issues across. Issues could be, different areas could have different issues which have paramount importance. For example, in Kenya, it's unemployment. Somewhere else it's more of elder care. Somewhere else it's more of food security. So there is a lot of diversity, and accordingly, your financial plan would have to be put together, and you would go about accessing funding. So coming back to various forms of funding, seeing the dynamics across the world in terms of what where the needs exist, we have a very interesting form of funding, which is SSNs or social success notes. Now, what is this? This is funding which is tied to certain social impact outcomes. So at a very basic layperson's level, let's say that I have an enterprise which says that I want to bring clean drinking water to a certain community. And how am I measuring this? I am, after all the analysis and everything and the pilot project, I may be measuring it in terms of the reduction in number of people being afflicted by waterborne diseases. Or I'm looking at the reduction of a percentage of people being afflicted by these diseases, or percentage of, I'm looking at the number of liters of water I have distributed. So this becomes a measurable parameter of the social impact that I have had. And then my funding, the SSN that I receive, is linked to the social impact which is being created. So this is a very interesting concept, which also helps to monitor, is the social impact really tangible, or is it something which is theoretical? Am I being able to credibly share data in an informative, empathetic manner with my potential investors and funders, and invite a buy-in from them? Because I have to demonstrate the facts. I have to demonstrate the matrices, I have to demonstrate the numbers at somewhere that, this is what I am delivering. So for example, when we'll be talking about the various enterprises under Unlimited, which have been promoted and incubated and funded, I will be talking about exact specific numbers of their achievements. Some of them, where I have taken them from the testimonials and formal statements on the site. So when one sees that monitored number, that measurability, the credibility comes in, that trust is built. And that is where these outcome-based financing options come into play, and which is actually a very logical thing, because then actually it makes it fairly easy for the social enterprise also, because instead of just appealing in terms of feeling and empathy, you are actually appealing in terms of hard facts and figures, so the results speak for themselves. So SSNs are a very popular way of an effective way of funding. So when I was talking about Humantix, though I spoke about the funding that they received from Google, etc., but let's say that they were accessing SSN based funding. Their numbers, we have we direct back all our profits into charitable ventures, great, but how much has that been? 8.5 million pounds, okay, that's fantastic, okay, measurable. How many events are listed on your site? Over 250,000 events, or however many number events, right from live events to anything. So measurable numbers. Let's say if they had explored SSNs, this is how these dynamics work. Then, of course, we have your venture funds, VCs, which venture capital, which also harness and nurture various social enterprises across the globe. Funding has to be assessed by way of what is most relevant to an enterprise in question. So, of course, you have to have your business plan in place. You have to have your financial forecasting. There are a lot of online tools which help, Upmetrics, Grammarly for Writing Assistant, etc., which help with financial forecasting. So, financial models have to be assessed in this manner, so that you are being able to pitch yourself for funding from various avenues. Now, for example, Canada. Canada also has a lot of social enterprises. And in Canada, you have the Business Benefit Fund. Then you have Future Forward. Then you have the Community Forward Fund. So there are a lot of elements of government funding, public and private, which are there across countries. Now, also, when we come to corporate social responsibility, one of the terms you may have heard, ESG investing, which is nothing but environmental, social, and governance. So basically investing in companies, etc., or in concepts where they are environment friendly, they are contributing to the society, there's a positive social impact, and also their corporate governance. Their governance is very ethical. So much so that some fund houses in India, among the funds that they have, equity funds, etc., they have come up with ESG funds, which are investing in equities of these companies, which are ranked very high on the ESG index. So, for example, when we are talking about B certified, benefit certified corporations, then obviously B certified corporations would form part of a ESG investment portfolio. So you have various kinds of ways in which funding can be sourced by different enterprises.